Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Friday. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and right here on FS1, Joy Taylor is joining me 1 hour from now. My blazing five, reduced to blazing one. I'll make my Super Bowl pick, lay it out for you. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Exciting day. There's a lot going on.
There is a lot of NBA stuff. There's a lot of NFL stuff. We'll go back and forth today on this. I want to start here, though, before I get to the NBA stuff, and I've got a lot of NBA stuff to talk about today. On the phone, texting, talking, last 24 hours. Let me start with this, though. Sean McVay is 33 years old. That is half the age of Bill Belichick, who's 66. He is the hot new boy genius, and he has earned all of it. He is sharp, he is fun, he is smart, he is relatable. And when you put the resumes next to Bill Belichick, oh, wait a minute, they're not close. I mean, not really even close. Sean McVay has two wins that anybody in this league historically would care about. He beat the Cowboys off a bye at home, got a few calls, and he beat the Saints on the road and got a big call. Now, I do think the Rams are better than both of those teams, but that's it. Two wins. That's it. We love in the NFL to anoint the next dynasty. Anybody seen Philadelphia this week? Anybody seen the Eagles? I can't. They're nowhere to be found. That's because what happened to Philadelphia is what happens to virtually everybody not named the Patriots. I want to remind you something about the Los Angeles Rams. They are in a division that's really good and getting better. San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo, Seattle, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson. They've already locked in three of their stars, big boy money, Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley, and Brandon Cooks. And oh, by the way, Gurley showing signs of wear and tear. They're going to eventually, pretty soon here, have to pay Jared Goff a lot of money. Will limit who they can sign. And oh, by the way, their offensive line is old and getting really old fast. And I want to remind you of the four franchises we were absolutely sure that were going to take over this league. The St. Louis Rams and Kurt Warner, fastest show on turf. And who ended their dynasty? New England, the Seattle Seahawks, Russell, that defense, the Legion of Boom. Who ended that dynasty? The New England Patriots, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're getting Big Ben, getting to Super Bowls. And who has really ended that dynasty? Haven't been there in 7 years to the Super Bowl. The New England Patriots. And Peyton Manning was going to wreck this league. Remember Colts? You're going to go to like 10 Super Bowls, 8. He won one Super Bowl in Indianapolis. Why? 4-for-4, the New England Patriots. They are favored. They are more experienced. They are going to reload. Brady played his best game in years against the Chargers. They're probably, most believe, going to win Sunday. And it should be noted, they've got a big edge in this game. The two wide receivers for the Rams, one's a former Patriot, and the Patriots' best corner guarded the other one, Robert Woods, for 4 years in Buffalo. We love to anoint the next dynasty. Four of them have all ended due to Belichick and Brady. All right, let's segue into this. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. Next Thursday is the NBA trading deadline. And you and I know the NBA is changing these days. Players have more power. But But it should be noted it's been a players' league since I started watching it in 1972. It was a players' league then. It really was. Coaches didn't get fired as often, but they got fired. Wilt didn't. Jerry West didn't. Elgin Baylor didn't. Okay, it's always been a players' league. Well, yesterday, oh, today, there's a lot of stuff freaking people out. Anthony Davis has said, I want to be a Laker and play with a great player. Ooh, that's never happened before. Oh, wait, it's happened a million times. Porzingis wasn't happy with the Knicks, and so he went to very aggressive owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban, and now the Knicks have the availability for two stars in free agency. That's bad. Kyrie Irving said this morning, I don't owe anybody anything. I don't owe the Celtics anything, and people are freaking out because Kyrie Irving doesn't owe the Celtics anything. Charles Barkley was on TV last night. He is beside himself.
Adam Silver needs to block that trade.
Why?
I don't like what the Lakers are doing. I don't think it's right.
What the Lakers are doing?
Yes, I don't think.
What did they do?
We're collusion. And you know it's collusion. Let me tell you something. Rich Paul got mad at me because I said a month ago, oh, the fix is in. Anthony Davis going to the Lakers. He didn't like me saying the fix was in. The fix has been in. I think Commissioner Stern, who I like a lot, need to come out and say, hey, we can trade Anthony Davis, but he cannot go to the Lakers. We cannot have players and agents colluding to stack super team.
Well, timeout. My entire life, and I've said this 100 times, agents and shoe companies and stars have controlled this league. What's different now? What's different is LeBron is friends with Rich Paul, and the billionaires don't like it. But folks, if you're in your 20s and 30s, you don't know who David Falk is or Arne Tellem. They ran this league for 3 decades. David Falk was so powerful, they called him the invisible hand in union negotiations. The NBA had a lockout and then ended a lockout, and David Stern and David Falk were controlling it. He was an agent. Arne Tellem had Shaq and had Kobe. And David Falk had Michael Jordan, and he had Iverson, and he had Ewing. And those two agents controlled the NBA for years along with Nike. That's been the league forever. What's different now? What's different is LeBron is friends with Rich Paul. Call me crazy, but wasn't David Falk one of Michael Jordan's guys? Of course. Wasn't Arne Tellem really close to Kobe? May still be. Yes. That's an agent's job, to be your friend. I've got an agent. We're good friends. Why? I trust him. That's the same way Michael and Ewing and Iverson all felt about David Falk. They were friends. A lot of steaks, a lot of cigars, a lot of laughs, a lot of champagne together, private jets together, golf tournaments together. So because LeBron's buddies with Rich Paul, everybody's worked up. Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Yeah, that's never happened. A great player wants to leave his crappy team and go to LeBron in L.A. Yeah, that's just crazy talk. It's been happening for 50 years. Wilt became a Laker and Shaq became a Laker. Where did Shaq leave? A small Southern franchise. Kareem left Milwaukee, a small Midwest franchise. Come on. Nothing crazy here. We had a bunch of player movement yesterday. It was all good. Dallas rolled the dice on Porzingis. He's 7'3.5", a slasher. He is brittle. He's coming off a nasty injury. I don't know if I want to pay him max money. I kind of like what the Knicks have, but I haven't liked what the Knicks have done for 10 years. That was the first time I kind of looked at the Knicks and went, wow, I kind of got their act together. Fear drives ratings in politics. Fox News and MSNBC and the world's going to end and Republicans are the end of the world and liberals are the end of the world. Everybody's always telling me the NBA is too top heavy. Tell me the last time it wasn't. People are telling me stars have too much power. Tell me the last time they didn't. Bird and Magic, not a commissioner, saved the league. Michael Jordan, not a commissioner, made it global. Kobe, LeBron, Shaq. Nobody's watching for owners. This league has been controlled by David Falk, Arne Tellem, Rich Paul, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. Sometimes a commissioner doesn't have a lot of power. Let's all stop the fear-mongering and the oh my God, the world's going to end. Stars in the NBA, here's what's happened. David Stern saved this league. It was not doing well financially, and David Stern said, let's make it about the name on the back of the jersey. Put it on the front. Give guys marketing and Nike and McDonald's. And it has, you know, gassed up some of these players. They feel pretty empowered, like any of us would. And now suddenly the players talk and text and share the same agents and say, you know what, we deserve a little more power. Not the Ivy League agent. Not the billionaire owner that doesn't even understand basketball. It's all going to be okay. The Knicks are finally relevant. Dallas rolled the dice. The Lakers are going to be good again because they're going to get Anthony Davis. Kyrie, maybe he stays in Boston, maybe he doesn't. But it's a captivating story, whatever happens to him. But I disagree with Charles Barkley. It's not collusion. It's empowerment. I've moved. You'll move. Stars moved. Anthony Davis has given the Pelicans 6 years. LeBron initially gave the Cavs 7. I've watched NBA, NFL guys like Elway and Eli Manning say, I'll never play for that franchise. NBA guys are giving you 6, 7 years. They just get tired of it and want to go somewhere else and play with their friends. It's all good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I understand why Cam Newton, big personality, stylish, Baker Mayfield, Aaron Rodgers, Big Ben, Jameis Winston, a lot of fun, big quotes, a lot of drama. I understand why they're popular. And they're all really talented. But I said with Baker Mayfield, for me as a GM, not draftable. You go ahead. I'm not interested. At the quarterback position, I'm looking for even keel. No peaks, no valleys. I don't care my wide receivers, you know, my middle linebacker, my safety, my tight end, big personality guys. But this is somebody that's running my franchise. In crisis, I need him to walk into the huddle and say, shh, I got this. Rob Havenstein's a great offensive lineman for the Rams. The perception is Jared Goff doesn't have a huge personality and doesn't have a commanding presence. Against the Saints, late in the game, he came into the huddle, according to Rob, and basically dropped F-bombs and said, be quiet, I'll take care of things, this is mine. Andrew Whitworth doubled down on the comments. Jared Goff is not a lot of noise, is not a lot of personality, is not a lot of drama. But he showed in crisis he can grab the room, grab the huddle. He talked about his personality at the Super Bowl earlier this week.
Something that I was kind of born with and how I grew up and how I've been. And, you know, I probably attribute it to my parents and the way they raised me and just try to understand that it's still just a game and have fun with it. You are who you are. I think there's plenty of different personalities around the league and at different positions. And I think, you know, for myself personally, I like to take a certain approach just the way I am. And I know for some guys it's a different approach. And I think whatever works is what you should do.
Threw for 4,700 yards this year and 32 touchdowns. That's with a Todd Gurley, who was never the same in November and December, and losing his favorite target, Cooper Kupp, early in the year to an ACL. What he does have, though, is he has traits that I admire for a quarterback, not everybody. Maturity, temperament, professionalism. He outplayed Drew Brees late in the Superdome. That can't be understated. And for years and years, everybody rolls their eyes. I've called it my bore four. Boring. Brady, Brees, Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson. Those are my four favorite quarterbacks in the NFL. The bore four, even temperament, you know, an occasional fist pump, an occasional get into the huddle and drop, you know, a word, but no quotes, even keel, even temperament. I mean, struggle to tell a joke. These are not hip. They're not lit. They're not cool. They're not noisy. They're not loud. Sometimes I would argue they all have a little dorkiness, the bore four. If Jared Goff wins Sunday, I'm going to insert him and add one more quarterback. It will be called the Flat Five. flat, even keel, no peak, no valley. It will be Brady and Goff, Breeze, Russell Wilson, and Andrew Luck. I like my quarterbacks. Less ego, no quotes. Don't care if you have style. You can have a neck beard. You can be a little dorky. You don't look great at the combine in your underwear. Doesn't look like you bench press Rhode Island. I'm okay with it. I like boring. I like flat personalities.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
This season, if New England wins, it will be their greatest achievement. Generally, over time, this is the way it works. Dynasties fade. Shaq and Kobe lost their last finals together. Magic lost to Michael Jordan at the end. LeBron and the Heat, ditto. That's the way it works. You get kind of old at the end. New England's had 8 Super Bowl appearances. This is 9, and it's the most impressive. Obstacles, unraveling. Gronk and Brady went anti-Bill in the offseason for a month. There was that Alex Guerrero situation where he got a little too close to Tom Brady. Several ugly road losses, Edelman suspended, controversy. Yet they destroyed the Chargers, best roster I believe in football, and they went to Kansas City and beat Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And it's starting to remind me of the Beatles. They were already the Beatles, the GOAT. They were already a musical dynasty. Their legacy was intact. Suddenly you heard reports that John Lennon and Paul McCartney couldn't be in the room together. Why? Because Lennon's wife, Yoko Ono, had gotten so close to John, too close. She was offering progressive teachings. Like the Patriots, Tom Brady and Alex Guerrero got so close with new progressive healing measures that it kind of turned off Bill Belichick. He kicked Guerrero off a plane. The Beatles were coming apart at the seams, unraveling their big four, Lennon, McCartney, Ringo Starr, and George Harrison. And the Patriots' big four, Belichick, Bob Kraft, Brady, and Gronk, similarly starting to unravel. But then something amazing happened with this musical dynasty. The Beatles released their greatest, most iconic album ever, just when we counted them out. Abbey Road, you know the iconic album cover. They came together, their last recorded album, and their greatest ever. Musical and NFL dynasties, be very careful. I know what you're saying. This is Looney Tunes. But I look at the great John Lennon, Yoko Ono, Paul McCartney, coming apart Abbey Road, and I look at Brady and Guerrero, Gronk, Kraft, and Belichick, and you're counting them out. They were not to be undone by Yoko. And the Patriots were not to be undone by Alex Guerrero. New England by about a touchdown.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
It has been an absolutely nutty, crazy week. Yesterday, the Knicks traded their star, Kristaps Porzingis, to the Dallas Mavericks, clearing up space for potentially Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Anthony Davis, Pelicans will be a Laker. The question is when. I believe it will happen. With that, via the Cowher Global Satellite Network, Chris Broussard joins us. All right, let's start with a Porzingis trade. People in New York freaked out. What was your take on it?
I think it was a great trade for both teams. You know, if you just look at it from a standpoint of how good are they today, yeah, you would freak out and say Dallas robbed them. But when you look at the big picture, you see it was great for both teams. Let's start with the Mavericks. Obviously, you got Porzingis, who will stay there long-term. He knows, has a relationship with Luka Doncic. Dirk Nowitzki will obviously tell him about how great the franchise is. And those two are building blocks for a future contender. I also like Tim Hardaway Jr. because he can shoot the ball, and with those two drawing so much attention, he'll get a lot of open looks. From the Knicks' perspective, as you said, it's all about how having the max cap space. Colin, there are people in the league who have told me weeks, months ago, long before they had the cap room to get two max guys, they think Kevin Durant is going to New York. There were people thinking Kyrie Irving might go there. Now they have the cap space for both of them, and I don't think Durant will go to New York by himself. But if he and Kyrie want to go, and look, the league can't do anything about it, there's going to be tampering galore going on with all these players. Kyrie's going to be talking with KD. KD's going to be talking with Jimmy Butler. Kyrie's going to be talking with Anthony Davis. They're all going to be talking, figuring out what they want to do. And the dream wish list for the Knicks is Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant in New York.
Let's talk about Kyrie Irving this morning. Release some audio saying, I don't give a blip. I don't know anybody anything. Where do you think that came from? Is he setting the Celtics up for an exit, perhaps?
Well, that's a heck of a backtrack, isn't it, from what he said months ago about wanting to re-sign with the Celtics. He said he's going to do what's best for him. Again, these last few weeks, I'll even say since he had the conversation with LeBron, there has really been a lot of speculation, a lot of talk around the league from people saying he's not staying in Boston. And this is people close to the situation. He's not staying in Boston. I think if you listen to what he said today at the press conference, when they asked him, has your view changed from what you said months ago to now? He said, ask me July 1st. He didn't say, no, I still love it here. You know, we'll see. We got a long season left. Let's see what happens. He said, ask me July 1st. I'm doing what's best for me. I don't owe anybody anything. Kyrie is from nearby West Orange, New Jersey. He grew up a Nets fan, but the Knicks are obviously the show in New York. He likes the spotlight. He's a fantastic player. And even though Kyrie and LeBron have mended fences, if you still are a competitor and if you want to show I can win it without LeBron James, what better way to do it than with Kevin Durant in New York? And if you're Kevin Durant, and we know he's competitive with LeBron, even though they're friends, if you want to one-up LeBron James, what better way to do it than win a three-peat in Golden State, then go to New York and lead them to a championship with Kyrie Irving? If he leads them to a championship in New York, Durant, I don't think he's as good a player as LeBron James, but he will certainly have a legacy or an accomplishments that surpass LeBron James if he can do that from a winning perspective.
Yeah, remember, the Knicks also can get a hold of one of those Duke players like Zion Williamson. They have Kevin Knox. So it's not like they don't have anything. They got a top pick, a young man they like. Now, I want to shift into LeBron.
And Dennis Smith Jr. is actually pretty good, just quickly.
Yeah. I want to shift to this. Okay, let's go Anthony Davis to the Lakers. I've been told it's going to happen. I think you've been told that. They had the Lakers certainly yesterday. Brad Turner, LA Times, said they're willing to give up everybody. You agreed with that. The question becomes, the Knicks now appear to be out on Anthony Davis more. He has said publicly or through an agent, Boston's not his thing, right? It looks like the Lakers now certainly in the running for having the best package. If you were the Pelicans, what would you do?
Well, first of all, you're right, Colin. Yesterday was a great day for the Lakers, too. There were three winners, the Mavs, the Knicks, and the Lakers, because to your point, the Knicks are out of it. Boston, if Kyrie leaves, they're out of it. Let me say this quickly. If Kyrie re-signs with Boston somehow, Danny Ainge, even if he's told it's a one-year rental, AD won't stay, he will pull, you know, throw the dice and try and get Davis there for 1 year, believing he can convince him to stay. If Kyrie's gone, I wouldn't do that if I'm Danny Ainge. He may still do it, but I wouldn't do it if I'm Ainge. So when we look at the Lakers, if I'm the Pelicans, there's no way, Colin, I'm trading him to the Lakers before the deadline. Even if I know he's going to end up there eventually. What I would do if I'm the Pelicans, I would send Anthony Davis home for the rest of the season. Go to Chicago. Just get out of New Orleans. Go to Chicago. This ruins their franchise to a large extent. Go to Chicago. We'll let you know when we're trading you. I wouldn't even think about doing it before February 7th. I believe I can get that best Lakers offer in the summer, just like I can get it now. So, because here's why. Some people think, well, with Boston out, with New York out, the Lakers will be able to lowball you and you'll have to take it. Not necessarily, because remember, Anthony Davis has to stay around all next year. LeBron James is not going to let another year with this mediocre squad play out. He's going to get impatient, and at some point he'll say, look, get Anthony Davis. I don't care who you have to give up. And then they'll go do it.
I want to play a bite. Last night, Charles Barkley, he's all worked up. Do we have the bite on Charles Barkley? Let's play this Charles Barkley last night.
Adam Silver need to block that trade.
Why?
I don't like what the Lakers are doing. I don't think it's right. I don't
what
think
the Lakers are doing?
Yes, I don't think.
What did they do?
We're collusion. Like? And you know it's collusion. Let me tell you something. Rich Paul got mad at me because I said a month ago, oh, the fix is in. Anthony Davis going to the Lakers. He didn't like me saying the fix was in. The fix has been in. I think Commissioner Stern, who I like a lot, need to come out and say, hey, we can trade Anthony Davis, but he cannot go to the Lakers. We cannot have players and agents colluding to stack super team.
All right. Chris Broussard, respond to what Sir Charles said.
Well, first of all, he's wrong. He's talking about now these players have the same agents. That's always been the case. David Falk had Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, and many others when he was the top agent in the game. So that's nothing new. What's new is this. In 2010, LeBron James showed players how they can take control of their own destiny. That's what he did, and that's what this is. Now, instead of players leaving their destiny in the hands of the GM, the owner, and the other front office members, they are taking control of it themselves. Now, they have to be careful because it doesn't work out for everybody. Dwight Howard ruined his career when he got eyes for every place else and left Orlando. Ruined it. Chris Paul, when he left New Orleans, went to the Clippers. Didn't ruin his career, but it didn't. Basketball-wise, he didn't get to the conference finals in L.A. Now he's kind of a role player next to James Harden in Houston. Carmelo Anthony, when he went to New York, he was still a celebrity and a superstar, but he didn't win. It didn't help him basketball-wise. His team in Denver was better. So it hasn't worked out for everybody. Some of these players need to be careful, but this is what you see happening. Players are following the LeBron James blueprint that he has started. Kevin Durant actually did it better than LeBron and is on a better team in Golden State and winning. But this is what this is. Players are now seeing how the GM, I'm not going to let him send me wherever he wants to. I'm going to go where I want to. We can build teams. We know more about basketball than them or just as much. So we can build these teams instead of letting them do it. Now, it may, whether you like it or not, that's the reality of the situation at this point.
Yeah, well, you and I agree on this and always have. Great stuff. Chris Broussard, who is also a hell of a football guy. His favorite sport. Good hooper. Loved his football. You know, if you were just a little tougher, you could have played football and covered football. But, you know, you're a little soft.
It got painful, Colin. The older I got, the more painful it got.
Good seeing you, Chris.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The Cowboys, Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones, Jones family, said they're not going to extend Jason Garrett's contract this next year. They're going to see how it goes. For the record, I think they're right. This is not college football. It's going to hurt recruiting. I think this is what they should do. And I would say this, and I've said it multiple times, stop lumping Dallas into the crazy, zany, dysfunctional group. They are not. They draft well, they develop players, they trade smartly, and they win games. That's a good division. They've won it 2 or 3 years, and they won a playoff game this year with a fourth-round quarterback. There is a Ferris wheel of dysfunction in the NFL. The Raiders and Tampa and Cleveland and Jacksonville, Detroit and Cincinnati. The Ferris wheel of dysfunction. Do not include the Cowboys in this. They win divisions. They develop players. They trade smartly. They draft well. They're going to go draft the tight end. It's a good year for tight ends. They're going to try to replenish their offensive line. It's getting old. They know what they're doing. They will be a 9-10 win team next year. It is all good. I will say this, though. There are four coaches to keep your eye on. Lincoln Riley just signed a contract with Oklahoma. But if he gets into the Final Four and wins a national title, remember, Jerry hired a college coach, Jimmy Johnson, to win his Super Bowls. Keep your eye on Barry Switzer. So he's 2 for 2 on the college guys. Keep your eye on Sean Payton. If Drew Brees, after next year, shows signs of age and retires, Sean Payton once worked for Jerry Jones. Keep your eye on Josh McDaniels. If Brady, again, shows age, they fail to get to a Super Bowl. Josh McDaniels, with no quarterback in New England after Brady, Jerry Jones would look at him. And Mike McCarthy. Listen, McCarthy's been to a Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl. He'll still be on the market. So Lincoln Riley, Sean Payton, Josh McDaniels, Mike McCarthy, all potentially available in 1 year from now. This is not college football. You don't have to sign your coach. It's not hurting any recruiting class. So I think the Cowboys are in a good spot. I like where they're going. I think they're highly functional. They do things I like. They draft smart. They trade smart. They develop players like New England. Trey Flowers has been developed into a nice pass rusher. I didn't know who David Lawrence was in college. I didn't watch him. So, I mean, it's easy to draft Zeke, get Amari Cooper. But to develop a lot of the young players, David Irving, they have done a great, great job.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Played for over a decade, a Hall of Famer, led the NFL in rushing 4 times. He was a Pro Bowler 6 times, all-time 8th NFL rusher, and he is Mr. Ram. He's joining us in Atlanta via the Coward Global Satellite Network, Eric Dickerson. Let me ask you this. I watched Todd Gurley last week, and he didn't look the same. And I mean, you can tell when a running back's not right. He dropped a pass, and he usually has great hands. He missed a block. He's a very good blocker. Do you believe, Eric, he is healthy?
Yes, I believe he's healthy. You know, Colin, this time of the year, you're never 100% healthy. You know, you're usually like 70 to 80% healthy, but that's healthy in the National Football League. Let me tell you, first of all, it's very hard to play in New Orleans. It's hard to hear in that stadium. It's hard to get a rhythm. You have bad games, and Todd didn't play well last week. That's just part of it. And you look forward to the next week to redeem yourself. So, I mean, Todd hears what everyone else has been saying. So I know he wants to play very well in this Super Bowl game. And possibly, if he plays well enough, he could be MVP if the Rams win this football game.
What kind of game do you envision? I could see it being like the Eagles and the Patriots, where you have two good offensive lines, quarterbacks that get the ball out fast to their players. I could see high scoring. What about you?
I see high scoring this football game. I said maybe 37-28, somewhere around there. You know, I think that, you know, one thing about the Rams is they can score points, you know, but the big thing is you can't make mistakes against a team like the New England Patriots because they'll make you pay for it. And it's in a sense vice versa. We make teams pay for making mistakes against us. Our defense has to get to Tom Brady. You can't let him sit back and just pick us apart. You can't play zone on him. You have to, you know, hit him. No quarterback in the National Football League likes to get hit. They don't like hands in their face. We have the guys that can do it, and Dominic Sue and Aaron Donald, you know, so, and Brockers. We have to get to him and hit the receivers and also shut down that running game. The running game is the key to the Patriots. If they can run the football successfully, that gives them that two-headed sword that they want. With Tom Brady, you know what he can do. And if you have a running game to go along with it, it makes that much more dangerous. But see, we have that. We have that in C.J. Anderson, and we have it in Todd Gurley for sure, and our young quarterback, Jared Goff.
I think Jared Goff has a lot of traits and similarities to Brady. I think he has a better arm, though, than Tom didn't. I think he's more talented at this stage than Tom was. When you look at Jared Goff, what do you see?
I saw a young man that struggled his first year, I think really because of the coaching, didn't have the proper coaching. He has the talent, but, you know, playing the quarterback position, you have to have a coach that can coach you upright. 2 weeks ago, when he played in that NFC Championship game, he won that game. Really, he did, because if we didn't have Jared Goff, we wouldn't be here today. You know, the throws that he made, the scrambles that he made, you know, running the ball when he had to, you know, getting the signals out. You know, people, I mean, you really don't understand how hard it is to hear. You can't hear. And the way they ran their offense, they'll be able to score 26 points in a real hostile environment, you know, is big. And the throw right here that he threw to Brandon Cooks, that wasn't just a good throw. That was a great throw.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, they've already got Gurley signed up and Brandon Cooks, and they've got a tough division, and then they've got to pay Jared Goff. Their offensive line's getting a little old in the tooth. Do you think this championship window is maybe shorter? I mean, the division's really tough. They're going to play Seattle, and they got Jimmy Garoppolo. How long do you think this championship window lasts?
You know, honest with you, Colin, I think it's our time. I think this championship window's going to run for a while. I think that we have the players. I mean, we'll lose some players for sure, but we have the pieces in place. You know, the most important thing is you have the players, but the coaching is so important. I mean, you look at New England, and I use them as an example with Belichick. Sometimes they didn't have all the greatest players, but they were still able to win. With our young coach, Sean McVay, to me, he is a mini version of him. He really is. He's a mini version, because McVay is a football guy. And I mean a football guy. He's all about detail, just like Belichick is. He's about detail. He's about, you know, having respect of the players. And the players respect him. And the big thing is, I think one thing when people talked about all year that McVay can't handle all these big personalities. You got Tlaib, you got Peters, you know, and can he handle these guys? You have heard nothing come out of Ram Camp. It's all about winning football games. And I believe that I think that we'll have this run for a while. I don't know if we'll do it like the Patriots. I don't think we'll ever see that again. But, you know, we have a very good football team.
What worries you about this game? If you're a Rams guy, what worries you? What's your worst nightmare?
Turn the football over. That's it. Turn the football over. And you have to be committed to the run. Those two things. Don't turn the ball over and run the football. I think we'll win this football game, because I think our defense is going to step up. I think one of the key things in this game is Wade Phillips. I think people are underestimating Wade Phillips' defense. They've been playing very well the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He's been in this situation before. He's beaten the Patriots before. When they won the Super Bowl against the Carolina Panthers, he put it on Cam Newton and their offense. And that's what I'm hoping that he'll be able to do this Sunday against the New England Patriots.
How surprised are you that they brought in Ndamukong Suh and Marcus Peters and Aqib Tlaib? These guys had a little baggage. These guys, you know, their resumes were spotty. Are you surprised how well the chemistry has worked with the Rams?
You know what? No, I'm not. After hearing about how Sean McVay dealt with players. I mean, and this comes from players that had played under him, you know, players that have been around him and talked about, Eric, let me tell you something. It's only one Sean McVay. He said they can try to find another Sean McVay. They're not going to find him. He said, you might think you have a Sean McVay. You don't. He said, he is such a football guy. He loves football. He wants to work. And I think the big thing is you find coaches don't listen to the players. The players, we're out there in the fight. We're not talking about the fight. And that's one thing I think that Coach McVay does. He talks to his players, say, okay, well, tell me what you see. Tell me what you want to do. And that's important. And if it's not working, he's the first one to tell, hey, the player, let me show you why it's not working. And you have to take the time to do those kind of things with players in the National Football League now.
How big is it for L.A. if they win? What does it mean to you?
Oh my gosh. You know, forget me. The city of Los Angeles, this means so much to our city of L.A. You know, we had the floods, we had the fires, we had the shooting at Borderline. I mean, this is so big. You know, sports takes you away. You know, it's like, I just need a vacation. I need something to root for. And that's what this gives us. This gives us something to root for. All the fans back in I've been talking to fans back in L.A., my friends, and they've been saying, man, it's Rams stuff everywhere. In the offices, that's all they're talking about is Rams. You know, it's not a whole lot of Ram fans out here. This is a long way. I mean, you got to say, this is a long trip.
Yeah.
But, man, you know, this is so big for our city of Los Angeles. And like I say, forget me. You know, this is about the city of L.A. and the young players that we have on this football team and the older players we have on the team also.
By the way, Eric Dickerson, who has told me that he only eats like one meal a day, I hope you've splurged a little in Atlanta and had two meals a day, Eric. I want you to be having fun, okay?
Let me tell you, Colin, what is it, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock? I haven't eaten all day. I had one meal yesterday. You know what time I ate yesterday?
What?
12 o'clock at night. 12 o'clock at night when I had my first meal. Last night.
I don't know how you
I wasn't hungry.
Oh, Lord. Eric, great talking to you.
Hey, good talking to you, Colin.